Hey, little buddies, it's Uncle Rick, coming to you from the little house in the pasture, where you can hear the birds sing, the cows moo, the horses neigh, and Uncle Rick talk to his little buddies. And I'm looking down over the pond where the geese are babbling around on the banks looking for something to eat. And it's just a lovely day to sit here with my little buddies and to tell you some stories about the famous men who signed the Declaration of Independence. A lot of these guys we don't know very much about today because things are not being taught well in our history books. But if you go back and read the old books, you'll find out the truth about what great men they were and about what a great chance they took in signing their names on the Declaration. You see, these men had to be very, very brave because if they failed to win their independence from England after having signed the Declaration of Independence, then King George would make sure that they were hunted down and executed. So, when they signed their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to each other, they were taking a very serious step. Now, let's talk about some of these guys because you're going to find out that their lives are very, very interesting and inspirational. If you've read my wife Marilyn's wonderful book called For You They Signed, then you'll know a lot about the 56 men who signed our Declaration of Independence and made America a free nation. In fact, a collection of 13 free nations, until later on when they could write a constitution and become a country. But today I want to start out by telling you some stories about the man who has sometimes been called the father of the Revolution, and that is Mr. Samuel Adams of Massachusetts. Now, when Sam Adams was asked who he thought was the real father of the American War of Independence, he said it was the preachers. There wasn't just one father. There was many guys standing in the pulpits of America preaching out the truth of God's word and talking about how the King and Parliament of England had violated their own constitution and were treating their English citizens in American colonies in wrong ways, in illegal ways. And so he said that it was those preachers like Whitfield and Jonathan Edwards and Samuel Davies and Reverend Samuel Cooper and some of these other guys whose names you may not even know who really brought about the spirit of independence in the American colonies. But he's the one who has come down to us in the history books as the father of the American War of Independence. So let's talk about old Sam Adams for a minute. Sam was born in Boston in the year 1722. He was a bright young man. In fact, he graduated from Harvard University, which was pretty challenging, especially back in those days. And yet, despite all that, he failed at almost everything he tried for many years. He went to work at a Boston counting house or bank. Then he lost that job because he wanted to spend his time talking politics instead of talking about money. His father gave him a whole lot of money to start a business. Any business he wanted to start would be fine. But Samuel wasn't much of a businessman. He passed along half of that money to a friend who was in need, and somehow or other he managed to lose the other half, too. Eventually, and not very far down the road, all that money was gone. So Samuel's father gave him a job in the family brewery. But Samuel neglected that business too, until it was eventually down and out. The people of Boston elected Samuel to be a tax collector. Well, they couldn't have picked a worse candidate for the job. People who wanted to stay away from paying their taxes would have been very pleased with that choice, because as Sam would go around and listen to the neighbors' tales of woe and talk about their financial problems, well, he'd end up feeling sorry for him and letting him off, so he didn't collect very much money. Samuel's wife was Elizabeth Checkley Adams. They had 6 children together, and then Elizabeth died. Later, he married Betsy Wells. With Betsy, he didn't have any children. People used to say that Sam Adams was so poor that his family would have starved if the rich merchant John Hancock hadn't helped him out. Well, there was one thing that old Samuel Adams could do and do well. By the 1760s, he was known as the most outspoken critic of England then in America. He and Patrick Henry of Virginia were both arguing in favor of independence, 10 years or more before the Revolution actually started. and historians believe that they're the first prominent Americans to do that. But while Patrick Henry was busy making speeches, Sam Adams was busy writing letters, lots and lots of letters, thousands of letters, about the injustices of the British government. And he sent those letters to newspapers and colonial leaders all across the country. Oh, he didn't sign them all with his own name. That would have been very dangerous. But he signed them with dozens of false names, pen names, which gave readers the impression that everybody in Boston was up in arms against the British, which a lot of them were. But all these letters, or most of the letters, originated with just old Samuel Adams. Sam was also good at recruiting other people. Sam's own cousin, John Adams. So did John Hancock, the famous Bostonian. And so did Paul Revere, who later would become famous for his midnight ride, in which he warned Adams and another important colonial leader that they must flee the place they were staying because the British were coming. And all these three men, cousin John Adams, John Hancock, and Paul Revere, all referred to Samuel Adams as their political father. And that's how Revere expressed it personally. All three of those men became more famous than did Sam, but that was fine with old Sam. He liked to remain back in the shadows, let other people take the credit. He just wanted to get the job done. Well, Sam Adams got the job done, all right. He took part in some of the most important events that sparked the War of Independence. It was Sam who organized the Boston Sons of Liberty, a group of rebels who protested British injustice by destroying British property and giving a hard time to British officials. Lots of towns throughout the 13 colonies then formed Sons of Liberty groups, modeled after the group that Sam started in Boston. After England passed a tax on tea, you've heard about that one, it was Sam Adams who planned the Boston Tea Party and called on the men to destroy the tea and throw it into Boston Harbor. It was also Sam who started the Committees of Correspondence, which was a letter-writing network through which the colonial leaders kept in touch. Horsemen would take their letters and ride from one colony to another so the people in one end of the country could know what was going on at the other end. The British didn't particularly care for Sam Adams, as you can guess. They called him the Grand Incendiary, which means somebody that goes around starting fires. Sometimes he was called the most dangerous man in Massachusetts. Well, anyway, the War of Independence really warmed up when the British marched to Lexington, Massachusetts, trying to arrest Samuel Adams and John Hancock. But fortunately, Paul Revere and his horse were ahead of the British, and he warned Adams and Hancock that the enemy was on its way just in time for them to slip away. Soon after the war began, then, the British offered a pardon to all Americans who would lay down their arms and return to the duties of peaceable subjects. But they made two exceptions, Samuel Adams and John Hancock. Whoa, if Britain had won the war, Hancock and Adams would probably have been the very first two to get their necks stretched with a rope. But they didn't. America won, and a grateful nation referred to Sam Adams as the father of American independence. Thomas Jefferson said that he was truly the man of the Revolution. Years later, Adams was elected governor of the new state of Massachusetts, and he served them in a four-year term from 1793 to 1797. After his death, a lot of people forgot about the great contributions that he had made to American freedom, and he sort of faded back into the shadows a bit. But old Sam wouldn't have minded that. He often said that his work was not for the glory of Sam Adams, but so that millions yet unborn could live and grow up free.